we begin, we have a few announcements. First off, if you look at the back of your bulletin, the minister's office hours are there, and women's Bible study will be on Monday at 7 o'clock. There'll be no work day this week on Tuesday, August 26th, or September 2nd. Promotion Sunday will be August 31st. And also, we have a new Sunday school class that's going to start, and please note that. Also, you'll notice in the bulletin you have a green insert. It's church picnic time, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day. So hopefully many of you can go home and gather your picnic supplies and head up there. If you need directions, please see one of the church members, and they'll tell you how to get there. It's a beautiful time up there, so hopefully many of you can go. Do we have any other announcements?
Good morning. Speaking of the church picnic and directions, there are maps in the back of the church sitting on the table out there. And if you need one, just let me know. I can hand it to you at the end of church. We also have a few things coming up. You might have seen on the marquee outside that our coffee house is going to return a little earlier this year than normal. It'll be September the 12th. That's 2 weeks from this Friday at 7:30. So please mark your calendar for that. We'll have inserts in the bulletin next week, and we actually have a few posters as well we can start putting up around town. We also want to draw your attention to the yellow insert in your bulletin today. I hope that you've been enjoying the sermon series on God in the Garden as much as I have. I wish that my garden were as productive as my sermons. But what I want to do is next week will be the last sermon in this series. And what I'd like you to do, if you are growing a little something in your garden, I'd like to know what is happening in your garden, in your life. I'd like you to take a moment, some time during this service to fill this out, just to write down something that is growing well in your garden and something that's going well in your life. And you can put it in the offering plates when they come around during offering time, or if you still haven't figured out what you want to put there, you can give them to me after church. And I'm going to mention them next week in my sermon. You can sign your name or not sign your name. It's entirely up to you, but I'd like people to know what's happening, what God is growing in our world and in our life, in the life of our congregation. So that'd be a great help for me as we finish our sermon series next week. Thank you.
Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. The community comes together to serve God and worship. Our opening hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 3. Hymn number 4, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. why do we come to church? We come here as a witness to our friends, family, and neighbors. We come here to enjoy the company of fellow Christians and to strengthen each other in the faith. We come here to study God's Word. We come here to celebrate the new life we enjoy in Jesus Christ. And we come here to honor God, our Creator and Sustainer. Let us pray. We confess, Lord, that some of us are not ready for worship. We may have hurried to get here on time, and we're still out of breath. We may have had harsh words with our spouse or our children or our parents. We have emerged from a busy world, and we may not have a sense of your presence. Some of us are carrying a load of anger or guilt. So we ask that as we settle in on these seats, we will experience the peace of your spirit and the assurance of your presence. Embrace us with the arms of your love, so that we may pray in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. In the Bible, the love of money is called the root of all evils, but money itself has the potential for much good. Let us at this time unleash the power of money for the kingdom of God. Our offertory hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal, number 113, Jesus Loves Me.
realizing the potential of our possessions for both good and evil, we dedicate this portion of our possessions for the ministry of Jesus Christ here and around the world. Amen.
The community proclaims the Word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. That's the New Testament, and page 229 in your pew Bibles. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all your sordidness and rank growth of all wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Our anthem this morning is by our summer choir, When We All Get to Heaven.
Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this beautiful Sunday morning. I was going to say last Sunday of August, but it's one of those months where we have five Sundays, so we have one more to go. But this last Sunday before school starts, which for some of you I know is very sad, and for others is a reason for great praise and joy in singing. Speaking of singing, I'd like to thank the choir for singing that wonderful hymn, one of my favorites, and I know that it's one of my favorites because it was also one of the favorites of one of my favorite people, Mary Catherine Porter, and that hymn was sung at her funeral. And I want to mention that to you because I don't think I've mentioned this before, but our beginner's classroom has been completely redone, and if you hadn't had a chance to see it, I invite you to go take a look at it after church or sometime. Thanks to the work of Judy Brow, as well as the men's work crew. There's new carpet and new painting and new decorations. It's really nice. I invite you to take a look at it. And it's also, just outside of the room, is a lovely picture of Mary Catherine Porter that was donated to the church by the Brooks Funeral Home. And we're taking to referring to the beginner's classroom now as the Mary Catherine Porter Beginner's Classroom. And it's a lovely tribute to a lovely woman. As I said, if you hadn't had a chance to take a look at it. We've also done a lot of work in the nursery. The nursery is not completely done, but it also has new carpet and new painting and working on putting in some new fixtures as well. So there's a lot that's happening in our building and a lot that's happening in our church. We, of course, know that today is the picnic day. One thing I forgot to mention is that if you told me that you were going to help take something up to the picnic grounds, please see me after church and I will give you your assignment. As we gather together this morning, we give thanks to God for all that is happening. We know that God is growing a great deal of things in our lives, and we also want to give thanks because we know that God is growing so many things that there are so many things we don't even know. But one day we will see them. We will see the fruits develop and bloom. We give thanks that God is always working and always at work in our lives. We do want to pray for all the children going back to school and for the parents and the teachers. We want to pray that they will have a wonderful time and be enriching and learning and safe environment for them. We've also been asked to lift up Peggy Harvey's aunt, Helen, in our prayers and continue to pray for her. I think we've prayed for her before. We want to pray for her again. And we also want to pray for the recovery of Mike Oler. He had broken his ankle last week. He had surgery this past week. We pray for his recovery and also that he will listen to his doctors and do all that needs to be done to recover, including rest and stay off of that ankle. What other prayer concerns do we have to share today? What other thanksgivings do we have? Bruce? Pray for Shirley Geary, battling blood clot and cancer. So pray for her. Ann? Prayer for Ron Haggerty, Sr., who is in intensive care at Westmoreland, and for the family of James Foley, that is the reporter who was killed this past week. Yes, Bruce? Pray for your wife recovering from poison ivy. Linda? I haven't heard any updates, but I haven't seen him as much as I used to, so let's... Do you know anything about David Reed? Linda was asking. Okay. Well, let's continue to pray for him as he recovers from his battle with cancer. Okay. We give thanks for that. That is good news. She has been suffering from pain a great deal, so we give thanks that Jeannie is doing better. Donna? Okay. We'll pray for Brandy. Did you say Brandy or Randy?
Randy.
Okay. Randy Shoup. Yesterday we had a wedding shower here for Jocelyn, who will be marrying Casey in October, so we want to give thanks. I'm sure I hear that went really well, and ask blessings upon them. And also, we will be having a wedding this coming Tuesday with the Millers. Don't get too shy, Russ. We want to ask blessings upon them for their upcoming nuptials. Are there any others? See, nonetheless, take a moment of silence as we go to the Lord in prayer. Majestic God, open our lives to all that you are doing. Open our lives to all that you are and will be and have been. Sharpen our minds, Lord, to understand your truth. Soften our souls to delight in your presence. Shape our wills to seek your ways. And open our hearts to let you in that we may be transformed by the implanted word given to us by your Son, Jesus Christ. The knowledge in you, let it grow within us like a seed born to flower. May your love water our hearts that they may grow. Your steadfastness be the soil in which we take root. And your Son be the sun that shines upon our lives, that we blossom and grow and reach up to the heavens to be all that you have called us to be. We confess, Lord, that too often we are content to wallow in the mud. We are content to hide in the shade. We are content to stay where we are. But we know that you have given us our lives for a reason. You've given us work to do, experiences to have, connections to make. And although sometimes it's easier for us to simply stay on our own or stay by ourselves, we're here in this world to make a difference. And there's much to learn for every day that you've given us. And we give you thanks for each day, knowing that it is a gift, and that some may be more beautiful than others, but they are all wonderful and all precious. Help us to make the most of each one. And as we come together as your family, as your children, as we gather in your house, we know that you exist beyond these walls, as does your church. And so we pray for those who are here and those who are not, those who are gathered near and those who are scattered far. We continue to pray for Mike Oler. We give you thanks that his surgery was successful. We pray now for his healing and his recovery and his patience as he waits for his body to heal, his ankle to be made well. We pray for Bruce and his family. In particular, we lift up his mother, Shirley. She battles cancer as well as a blood clot. We pray that she will take things one day at a time and know that you are with her each day and await her in the next. We pray for his wife, Dana, as she recovers from poison ivy. We pray that that will be swift and complete and that she will have the endurance needed to deal with that condition. We pray for David Reed. We give you thanks that he has come through all of his treatments. We give you thanks that he is with us and doing well. We do know that the treatments and the cancer did take a toll on his body. We continue to pray for him, but we give you thanks that it did not take a toll on his soul and his faith. We give you thanks that Jeannie Kraft is doing better. We know that she has suffered long, and we give you thanks that her pain is less. Continue to be with her. We pray that she will continue to draw her strength from you. And know that she is with us in spirit as she cannot be with us in body. We pray for Randy Shoup. We pray for all that he is going through and his family. For Ron Haggerty as he is in the hospital, we pray for him and his family. And we pray for the family of James Foley going through a terrible, terrible loss that not only is terrible in and of itself, but is put forth on the news and seen by the world. We pray for all those who are dealing with this terrible tragedy. And pray that your will and your justice be done in this world to open the hearts of those who are doing terrible things and wreaking terror throughout the world, but also that your will be done through those who would stand up and to show people that the light can overcome the darkness and that love overcomes all. And as we gather here, Lord, we also do celebrate love. The love that you have given us, the love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the love of family and friends, and the love of people coming together to spend their life together. We celebrate with Casey and Jocelyn over with their wedding shower and their coming nuptials, and we celebrate with Russ and Mackenzie, whose wedding is coming soon. We give you thanks that you have brought these people together, that they have found one another, and we ask blessings upon them as they begin their life together, this day and all days. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the source of all love and light in this world. We ask these things in the name of your Holy Spirit that lifts us up when we are weak and guides us when we are lost. And we ask these things in your name, the name above all names, this day and every day. Amen. Will the children come forward for the junior sermon? Come on down. Come on down. We have someone coming up from the nursery. Here they come. How are you guys today?
Oh, you know.
Are you? Well, you have a sister. Did you sell your sister? Okay. How are y'all today? Come on, I know school's coming tomorrow, but today, it's not school, it's the last day of summer, it is what? The church picnic. The church picnic. Let's focus on today. You know what Jesus said, focus on today, don't worry about tomorrow, Today has trouble enough of its own. But let's change it a little bit and say today has joy enough of its own, right? Because we're all going to get the church picnic. I know. So you got to make the most of it. Make the most of it, okay? So we're having a church picnic this afternoon. I hope that you all can come. We're going to be there. And you know what we're going to bring? Deviled eggs and cake. Does that sound good? No, it does not say, Owen, it's not your birthday. Listen, now let me ask you this. That sounds good, right? But if you went to a picnic and all there was deviled eggs and cake, would that be a good picnic? Okay, hold on. You need more? You need more? Okay, let me ask the congregation. Would that be enough for a good picnic? No. Shh. It is better than nothing. But, I would like more. Okay. Now listen. The thing is, that's not a great meal, deviled eggs and cake. But we're not the only ones going to picnic. And I don't know what other people are bringing, but I bet someone brings, some pasta. And I bet someone brings some watermelon. I bet somebody brings some salad. And I bet somebody brings some chicken or something like that. If we had all those things, would that make a good picnic? Yeah. I think we'd all agree that would make a good picnic. And that's one of the great things about picnics, right? That everybody brings something. Not one person puts the... Hi, Pappy. Not one person puts the whole thing together. But if we had all these things, would that be enough to feed this church?
No.
Maybe. It'd be a little close. Let me ask you this. We know that this is not all the people in the church. There's a lot more people who aren't here today, and some of them might be at the picnic today. Let's say that we had those things that we just talked about, and everybody who was a member of the church came. Would that be enough to feed everybody?
Probably not.
Now we're getting really, okay. Now listen. Shh. Wait, hold on, listen, okay. What if everybody in Connellsville came to our picnic?
That would be awesome.
But do you think we would have enough food to feed everyone? Wait. I think we would have enough land. Camp Laurelview is very big, but I would be worried about having enough food. Now, one more thing. What if a crowd of about, well, actually, that would be about, I guess, Connellsville. What if a crowd of about 5,000 people came? Will we have enough food? A dance party. That's great, but what are you going to eat? Hold on. Let's listen to Lily. Yes. Your mom's going to bring some hot dogs? I hope she brings enough for about 10,000 people. Is she? I don't know. Okay. Well, let me tell you a story. Real quick. Yes, Tess? Okay, I hope you do. Let me tell you the story. Jesus had a similar situation, only let's just say it wasn't planned, okay? Jesus and his disciples were teaching people. Lots of people. Several thousand people. And he was teaching them, and guess what? He's talking, and they get hungry. And they say, hey, we would like something to eat. We need something to eat. And the disciples, they're a little concerned about this. So they go to Jesus, and they say, listen, you've been teaching these people all day, and they're hungry. Send them away so that they can get some food. Now, the disciples think that they're being nice, and the disciples think that they are looking out for the people. Well, not fault them or anything, but they know that they don't have much food. They don't really have any food. Send them away, they can go get some food, maybe they come back. You know what Jesus says to them? Jesus says, you give them something to eat. What are they going to do? Do you think they're going to go down to the grocery store and empty it all out? Yeah, you think so? Do you think they're going to go and say, hey, everybody, come to McDonald's and we'll pay, it's on us? You can't do that. There's no grocery store, there's no McDonald's, and I don't have that much money. So this is what they did. Listen, but they did have Happy Meals. No toys. I knew you were going to do that. So they said, let's go see who has food. And they found this one boy, and this one boy had, and I always get this backwards, I believe it was 5 fishes and 2 loaves of bread. And is that going to be enough to feed thousands of people?
No.
But Jesus said, bring it to me. And he takes it, and he gives thanks for it. And the disciples go out, and they start giving people food. And guess what? Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? they started breaking stuff apart so they could feed everyone. And not only did they have enough to feed everybody, they also had enough to fill 12 baskets of food left over. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. They had enough and more. Because Jesus was with them, and that's what happened. When Jesus was with them, they had more than enough to go around. It's one of the great miracles that Jesus performed, the feeding of the 5,000, okay? Now, I don't know that there will be 5,000 people at our picnic tonight, this afternoon. Probably not. And I don't know, this afternoon, and I don't know if they did, we would be able to perform the same miracle. But here's one thing I do know. If you share your lunch, if you're at school this week and one of your friends doesn't have a big lunch and you have more than you need and you share with them, will you have less food than you did before? You will. But that's why sharing is so important and such a nice thing to do. Because when you share, you're making a little bit of a sacrifice. But let me ask you this. If you share love with somebody, if you share love with your brother, sister, your friend, your mom, your neighbor, will you have more or less? You share love with your mommy and your boys, right? Does that mean you have any less love? Actually, no. Love is the one thing that not only do you not have less of it when you share it, do you know what you have? You have more of it. The more you share love, the more love you have. And that's one thing we want to remember. We may run out of food. We may share our food and share our lunch with people. We may end up running out. We may not have as much as we would like, but we always have more than enough love. And the more we share it, the more we have. School's starting tomorrow, and I know you're super excited about it. And what I want to ask you is that, as I said, you know, if you have a little bit of extra food for somebody, you want to share it at lunchtime, that's great. But when you do that, you're also sharing love. And that's what I want you to focus on. I want you to share love with your friends. I want you to share love with your teachers. I want you to share love with new kids who might be at the school. Share love with somebody who needs it. Because when you do, will you have less? No, you will have more. And that's guaranteed. Thank you. Look forward to seeing you at the picnic. Go to class now. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. It's found on page 38 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And coming near the end of my sermon series on God and the garden, I want to be able to have some grand unifying theory of the garden, some great theological principle that explains God through the garden that makes it all simple and easy to understand. One nice sentence or two that explains it all. And I don't know that I can think of just one, but I do have a few. There's much that we can learn about God in the garden, and I feel as if I've only scratched the surface. That's the way with God, that once you start to learn, you realize how much you don't know or how much more there is to know, and you could study and study and study and still have more to learn. Maybe next year we'll have a sequel in which we discuss the generosity of God as evidenced by how much is gained from so little. Those little seeds that become such big plants that produce so many vegetables. Maybe we will look at the way plants grow towards the light as a metaphor for human beings yearning for the light of life. But for now, as the fall approaches and school begins, let me give you a couple of general insights I have drawn as I've studied the Bible and my garden. First is that in the garden, things grow slowly. Sometimes it does not appear that way. If you consider how small your sunflower was 2 months ago, and now you can stand in its shade, it certainly has grown a lot faster than people do. But if you were to sit in your garden and watch it grow, then see what happens. Every minute would be about as boring as the next. It is an experience like unto raising children. When you first have a child, you experience the magical properties of time in which the weeks and the months and the years seem to fly right by, even though each day and hour seems to last a lifetime. I can remember how long it seemed before we could lay Owen down to sleep, waiting for that magical time to come when we could finally get him to fall asleep and put him in his crib. Those last 2 hours absolutely seemed to take forever. But then after a while, before we knew it, it was his first birthday, and we didn't understand how we had gotten that far that fast. And it's hard for me to believe now that that was over 5 years ago. The same is true of growing a garden. You could spend a week watching your plants grow. You could sit there and look at them in your garden, and you could stay there for every moment of the week, and it would be the most boring experience of your life, probably. You wouldn't see much of anything happening as far as the plants go, but at some point you would recognize, hey, they've grown. Take your eyes off the garden for a while, and it's amazing how much work and growth has occurred while you were not paying attention. What is true of the garden is also true of the kingdom. It is perhaps the best metaphor of the kingdom of God we have. The Apostle James refers to the gospel in the passage that Heidi read for us earlier as the implanted word that has the power to save our souls. And when he calls it an implanted word, he describes the gospel like a seed. That's exactly the metaphor he's using. How appropriate it is then that just before this he says, "Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness." And you see here James is calling to us to act like God, because in Psalm 85 we hear, "You, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." So if God is slow to anger, we should be slow to anger as well, but often, of course, times we are not. James challenges us to be slow also, to speak slow and to anger slowly, just as things you wish to grow in your garden will also be slow in growing. You have heard the expression that nothing worth having comes easy, and that's really the case for the things that we want to grow in our lives and in our gardens. There aren't really any good shortcuts. We simply need to do the work and to give it the time to grow. In fact, if you think about it, the only thing that really grows fast in the garden are the weeds. And they do grow fast. Again, if you were to look at them, it doesn't seem like much, but they grow much faster than the plant you're trying to grow. And we've talked about this, and you already know, but it seems like you could almost, if you stared at them long enough, you could almost see those weeds grow because they go that quickly. So I think there is a lesson in how we are to live right there in the garden, but let it also be a lesson in how we grow the seed of faith, the word of God that is implanted in our heart. There are no shortcuts to establishing and growing faith. There's no chemical fertilizers or really fertilizers of any kind to use. The word of God grows in our hearts as we age and learn and live and experience. And the thing is, while it is there, we often do not notice it growing. But you come through a difficult experience. You come through a period of time. And you might be amazed at how much that seed has grown in your heart, even when you didn't think you were doing anything to grow it. And that is because Jesus Christ also described the kingdom of God being like a seed. In the second passage we have heard, it's from the Gospel of Mark. It is a parable that Jesus gives, one of the shortest parables he has. And it is also about one of the most important topics, the kingdom of God. It is the embodiment of the expression, good things coming in small packages. He says the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. It would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. That's it. The kingdom of God is like a seed. A man throws it on the ground. He goes to bed. He wakes up. He goes to bed. He wakes up. Before he knows it, it's growing. But what has he done? Well, think about it this way. What is the kingdom of God anyway? What do you think it is? Is it heaven? A kingdom we will enter when we die? Is it a literal new world? A new Jerusalem and a new earth where all are healthy and happy and war and disease are no more? Is it God's reign in this world, where the righteous will prosper and the evildoers will be punished? Is it a theocracy where Christ will reign as king and his laws will be the laws of the land? Or is it something else entirely that we do not know and cannot really imagine? Jesus describes it as being first of this world, something that we ourselves can experience and do experience. In this parable, he uses the example of seeds growing to describe what it is like. Now, seeds are something we all know and have experience with. And they are not necessarily something we understand. Not really. There are mechanical devices that some human being or a group of human beings put together that perhaps we could figure out how to work, how to manufacture. We could reverse engineer them and figure out how they are made. But we couldn't do that with a seed. I remember when I was in grade school, our teacher used the sunflower seed to explain how plants grow. And she told us about the soil and how they get their nutrients. And she told us about the rain and how all living things need water. And she told us about photosynthesis, how they convert light into food. And she placed the seed in the soil of a tiny Dixie cup, and she watered it, and she stuck it in the window. And about, I don't know, a week later or so, she showed it to us, how it was beginning to grow and sprouting up. And it was amazing to me. How did it know to grow? You would have the seed, you would have it in a pack. You could leave it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, it wouldn't grow. How does it know that it's in the soil? How does it know that the water is there? How does it know for it to begin? And when it does, what exactly does it do? Once it was buried and somehow knew it was time to get going. And of course, what came out of the seed was much larger than what was originally in it and became larger and larger still. So many things took place to make that plant grow, and we didn't do anything, really. And I don't know that the plant consciously did anything. In the same way that a human being eats food and drinks water, and before you know it, can't fit into the same clothes they were in about 3 months ago. So many things take place when we are not looking, and so many things happen that we are not in control of. In the same way, the kingdom of God has begun when the seed of faith is implanted in our hearts. Whatever else we think of it as, the kingdom of God is the place where we are rooted in the soil of grace, watered by the rain of mercy, and shined upon by the rays of love, God's love. It is the place where we realize we have been grown by God, and therefore we know that we are being grown to God's liking. But let's remember that parables are not perfect analogies. They are not intended to be. They are intended simply to demonstrate a point or to teach a point. And what Christ wanted to demonstrate and teach to his listeners was that the kingdom of God had begun. Because if the kingdom of God begins by the planting of the seed of faith, that doesn't happen until Christ comes into this world. And so Christ, as he walked through this world, had begun to plant the seeds of faith in people's hearts. So therefore, the kingdom had been planted. And although it might take a while, the kingdom's coming was assured. And that's the key difference, because we know that not everything is planted comes to fruition. In fact, it's probably a very small percentage of things that are planted that grow to become fully mature and in bloom. Some that are planted are killed by too much sun or not enough rain. Others become food for groundhogs and deer and chipmunks and squirrels and rabbits and the like. But the kingdom seeds planted by Christ himself, the good gardener, are guaranteed. For Jesus said, the earth produces of itself. This is what he says after his parable. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. You see, like any seed, we need to water and care for it, but the work that goes on inside the seed is not really up to us. It has been developed. It has been designed. It has been guided by the Maker himself. And so the earth produces of itself, and the kingdom does as well. So the two things above all else I have learned about God in my garden is that God goes slow, so we should. And God does far more than I can know or you can know or understand, and without much help from us. Perhaps you have heard the old saying that was attributed to Ignatius Loyola, who founded the Jesuits, when it says, "Pray as if everything depends upon God, work as if everything depends upon you." Well, that's how we do it in the garden. There is a job for us. Notice that in all the scriptures and passages we have heard, we talk about a man scattering seed, and that is our job. To scatter the seed in the garden and to scatter the seed of faith in people's hearts. To not be the light of the world, necessarily, not to be the light of life like Jesus Christ was, not to be the gospel, but to be the evangelist, the one who shares the gospel with others. So in our garden, we plant, and we do care, and we do prune, and we do weed, but most of the work is much, much beyond our own understanding and ability, and we leave that up to God, and we pray that God's will be done and that God will grow things to God's joy and good favor. The vast majority of what happens in the garden happens because of God and not us. The vast majority of what happens in the kingdom happens because of God and not us. So as the summer starts to come to an end, let us go slowly. Let's savor these last few weeks or so. Let's savor each day as it comes to us and is given to us. Let's spend that time in our garden enjoying God's presence and God's love and the sign that God has given us of God's power and creativity. Let us go slowly in our faith and trust that while we rest and while we are distracted with other things that aren't quite so important, that God is always working tirelessly, faithfully, imperceptibly, on our behalf, on behalf of the world, on behalf of the kingdom, to bring the implanted word to fruition in our hearts and in our world. Let us give thanks that while God has given us a role and a part to play, it doesn't all depend upon us, and in fact, very little does. We give thanks for the great gardener of all that he has given us and all that he has planted, and know that the harvest is coming soon. And it is going to be far, far better than anything we have ever grown or ever seen. Let us give thanks. Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. If any gathered here, the community comes together around the Lord's table. All gathered here are invited to take the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 323. Sing them over again to me in the chalice hymnal. As we gather at this table, we think of all the types of food that have gone into producing this meal, and it is a simple meal. We have juice that somebody grew the grapes, and we don't know where, perhaps locally, but probably not, probably all the way across the world. And again, also with the bread, a very simple bread, and those who grew the grains that went into it, we will likely never know. Whenever you sit down for a meal, that is the case. If you really stop to think about what is in your food, it probably has come from many, many, many different places. And as we also come close to the end of the summer and the harvest starts to come in, I also want to make a plug for farmers markets. I do love them so much. They are a wonderful thing to go to because there you're going to get food that you know is locally grown. And that way it's fresher and you're also helping local farmers as they produce their food. But again, it's also great because you get to see the people who have grown the food that you're going to eat. And the reason I mention this is because if you think of it this way, then in a meal, it is the coming together of the people who are eating the meal. But I like also to think of it as the coming together of all those people who made the meal. Some of whom you may know, some of them might be you, if you've got something out of your garden. Some of them might be people that you will never meet, that you will never know, that may be all the way across the world. But in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, there is a great deal of communion that takes place. When two or more people gather to share a meal, they are in communion with one another. They are in communion with all those who sold them the food and all those who prepared the food and all those who grew the food. And when we come together at this table, we are in communion with all those people. And we are in communion with one another as we gather and pray. And we are in communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, who has set this table and has invited us to this table and does every week. And we are in communion with those who have gone before, those who are not with us today in body, but also are in spirit and in memory. All those who have sat at this table many times before and who we believe we will sit with at the table in heaven. This is the table with a great deal of intersection, and it is a wonderful and joyous gift that Christ has given us. As we share in the meal this morning, let us give thanks to all the people who have affected our lives, some of whom are here right now, some of whom we knew intimately and are gone, but we will see again, some of whom are not here today, but perhaps will be here next week, and some of whom we have never met and probably never will. But because of their work and their efforts, the meal is set and ready to be shared. Now this morning, let us pray.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing each one of us here today. We are the seeds that you have planted in this world, and we are the ones who are to grow in his love and with his sunshine and with all of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And now the community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 619 in the Chalice Hymnal, My Life Flows On, an endless song. Let us stand as we sing. Now let us bow our heads for the benediction. Go forth now and take the implanted word in your heart and share it with all whom you know that they may grow it as well, that throughout the world each heart may bloom in love and grace and turn into a garden of God's love and delight. Amen.